Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Week's Modern Drummer Podcast. Today we have the one and only Mark Shulman. Hello, Mark.
What's up, my dear friend, Billy?
Look at that handsome face.
Yeah, look at that.
But this is May 2019, so that was right before everything started to go a little chaotic, as we all know.
Yeah. Well, I think it was March of 2020 when the world changed. As we know it, forever.
Yeah. So let's talk about this. There's a couple of things happening right now that are pretty exciting. The other night, we're filming this, by the time it goes on, it'll probably be a week or so. But Pink got the Billboard Icon Award and you guys performed. How was that?
That was sensational. It she deserves it. And we had a 9-minute space, which is highly unusual to do a medley. And first of all, let's talk about her performance with her daughter, Willow, who is just a real badass to begin with. But she did the work. I mean, that was so sensational. And Pink, her name is Alicia. Alicia is such a mom. I mean, they just came out with the new documentary on Amazon. And the viewpoint of the documentary isn't about how cool the band is. It's about her experience as a woman, as a mother on the road and raising a family and just the dynamic of what it's like to be her and be in that situation. So it's a very unique perspective and it's very emotional and very compelling. I mean, we all got together and we saw a preview of it. You know, we did a little red carpet preview she invited. We hadn't seen each other since 2019. So it was so emotional to begin with. But then seeing that incredible documentary and then just seeing the performance and also for us seeing it from the audience's standpoint, dude, I could not contain my endorphins at the end of that thing. I just wanted to jump right back on the stage and like, when are we going out?
I know.
So we're so excited because we're such a family. She really, really treats everybody with such absolute respect. And she got up to talk and she kept on saying, we said, it's you. She said, no, it's us. We're responsible. I mean, she really takes pride in the team. She's really an amazing woman, an amazing artist. You see it on the audience. I mean, who else lies down on the stage, so she could sign people's body parts so they tattoo them. There are probably a million pink tattoos with her signature on arms and wherever else.
It's really great because I remember we had spoke about that when we did the interview, and even when we hang, because we me and you go back a long time. Yeah. And I'm so happy that she's one of the people who really like cares for her band. And like you say, it is a family, because a lot of people, it's not like that. We talk about that sometimes to let the younger generation know that just because you're on tour with somebody who is a superstar, and she is a superstar, that doesn't mean you're best friends, and it doesn't mean you just like, you know, you talk to her whenever you want. And but you guys, it's great that she treats the band so well. And I think that comes across, because I saw you guys live. And I mean, my God, the energy that you put into that show is mind blowing. And then her flying around, how she spins and then lands on the floor, not dizzy, and just sings as if nothing. It's just, it's just incredible. The show is
I mean, she was like a trained gymnast, a committed, like potentially pre-Olympic gymnast. So she is a serious athlete.
Yeah.
And she even says she feels more comfortable. If you look at, watch the documentary, she says, I'm more comfortable singing when I'm upside down spinning. She's so used to it. You know, for us mere mortals on the stage, I look at her in absolute awe. Because to me, it's like, wow, my job's easy. I just get to sit down here and play drums. She's like spinning. I mean, and she's so committed. I mean, think about, people aren't aware that she wears high heels 2 weeks in a row while she's rehearsing to get used to the high heels so she can do one or two songs in high heels to get through the blisters and the pain and the balance. That's just one small component. And then she trains for months and months ahead of time. And then she starts working with the dancers and the choreographers and the directors 6 months ahead of time. And then we start doing the music rehearsals. Then we go into full production rehearsals for a month. It is quite a protocol. And what's interesting to me is I would have thought, you know, because she's, you know, 40 years old or something now, that there would have been some new artist that would have sort of taken the flag and gone with it, but nobody has even tried, because she really is so unique. I mean, what an anomaly, and what an amazing talent. So, yeah.
Now, how many years have you played with Pink now, Mark?
Wow, I started playing with Pink in 2006. So let's see, I'm a drummer, I can count. We'll call that 15 years. I played in 15, 16 before, really.
And was then, was it arena tours from the beginning?
From when the beginning, you started with her? You know, I joined her because I was subbing for her other drummer who mistakenly double booked himself. And I did club tours with her at first, which was warming up. And then I was as a sub, and then at the end of the subbing, they gave me the gig because we got on just so well. And then we did our first arena tour, but it was almost all Europe and Australia. And in America, she wasn't even doing arenas. We opened up for Justin Timberlake in 2007. So America kind of caught on later. She was always huge in Europe and the biggest artist ever in Australia by far. I mean, we played 60 sold out arena shows in one tour. Started out as 34, and they kept on adding and adding. We could have stayed there again. We could go back right now. So, you know, hopefully we're going to eventually play stadiums there. But we've always played during the winter. So we've always played the indoor arenas. But like Rod Laver Arena, Billy probably knows, 18 sold-out arena shows. I mean, that's insane. Think about that.
Yeah.
And that's because, you know, the Aussies, some of my best friends are Aussies, and the Aussies are like no BS people, and like she's no BS, so I think they just get her. They're like, oh, we love her, you know. Sorry, really bad Australian accent.
Well, 18 shows is called a residency in some cities.
Yeah, but we broke it up. It could, yeah, I know, because we could do that in Vegas and it would be like, you know, 2 months, right? But no, she's really, really so loving, so adored, with all good reason. Because she really deserves it. I mean, here's a perfect example of Pink, right? We're catering. She doesn't eat on her own. She's in catering with the rest of us, with her kids, with her family. So there was a long line to get some food. She wanted to get some food. The manager's like, go to the front of the line. She's like, I'm not going to the front of the line. The hell with that. Stood in the back of the line like everybody else. She'll sit down at a table. She'll start talking to like the third carpenter or one of the bus drivers. She just wants real people. She doesn't want to be treated like a star. She wants to be treated. She would much rather hang out with a regular person talking about regular stuff than be adored as a star.
And, now, how many years have you been with Cher? Because before
first of all, I'll say that I'm probably going to the Guinness Book of World Records for the only person that ever auditioned for Cher three times. Didn't get the first two, finally got the third time. So I started with her in 99. Her manager, Roger, is the same manager for Pink. He was the one that brought me into Pink. So I started playing with Cher in 1999. And a number of us, including crew members, were playing with both Cher and Pink. We go back and forth. Finally, in 2017, it just got to the point where I needed to commit to Pink full time. And I handpicked Jason Sutter, because he's so well studied and he's such a great drummer and a great friend, to come in and do the Cher gig. And he's loving it. He even got a Ludwig Octoplus to emulate Hal Blaine. I mean, that guy's committed, man. So I work with her all the way up to 2017. And you talk about the Billboard Icon Awards. So it's the second Billboard Icon that I played with, because Cher got the same award in 2017 in Vegas. So I'm so grateful. I've played with two of the icons of the planet. You know.
Well, your career, that's what I love about you and your drumming, because your career goes from so many, like you were in Foreign. I mean, you know.
Oh, I love those guys. I played in and out of Foreigner from like I auditioned and got the gig in 1992 and I left in 2013. In and out, of course. When I left, I was in tears because I adored those guys so much, but I needed to go back out with Pink because Pink was my first commitment, obviously. But man, what a fun gig that has been forever for me. Just playing all those 17 top 10 hits.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. It's really amazing. And I love the fact that you know, she is the way she is, because that has a lot to do with it. So everybody should check out Pink, All I Know So Far documentary. It's streaming now on Amazon. It premiered May 21st, and you can check that out. So you should definitely, if you want to get a feel of what we're talking about, you just have to watch that.
My daughter's got more screen time than me, by the way, because she's playing with Willow. So.
Yeah, but everybody knows that, you know, they hear you, that's for sure. Because, I mean, your kit, let's talk a little bit about your kit. Like, when you're playing live, I know we had spoke about it that night backstage, but, like, what are you hearing, like, in your ears? And because you have a pretty elaborate setup between electronics and acoustic drums. Let's talk a little bit about that setup.
Well, you know, fortunately, when you're at a tour of this magnitude, everybody gets their own personal monitor mix. So I get to hear exactly what I want. And you know what I prefer? I'll never forget. I was playing with Richard Marx. We opened up for Stevie Nicks. I was talking to Russ Kunkel. I said, Russ, what do you have in your monitors? He goes, I got to send from the front of the house. I want to hear a balance of what everybody else is hearing. So essentially, I've always kept that in the back of my head. That's what I like. I like to hear everybody, a little bit of, and enough click. I have to click quiet because I don't want the click overbearing. So basically I want to hear everybody because I want to play along with the band. And that's basically it. It's like the click, the band. I might have a little bit more bass or something. You know, I always have her pretty loud because I really want to like play off of her. I want to play off the band. Justin's loud. It's a good balance though, because I really want to hear everything. And I want to hear a balance of some of the loops, because I'm playing along with the loop. So it really ends up being like, if you hear my mix and you check out the click, you'll probably go, oh, that sounds, and the drums are quiet because I'm hearing the drums acoustically. Right. So I don't have the drums blasting, because the last thing I want to hear is a bunch of drums when I'm already hearing the drums bleeding through my molded in-ears. So I'm fortunate. And I usually don't change a thing. So like once we're set up, man, our sound checks, like we get up there, it's about 12 minutes for us. And then the boss comes up, and then whatever we need to do with her, because we usually get at least one in ear out. So she has a lot of variation because the sounds of the venues change.
Right.
Right.
That's the greatest thing about the In It Ears is like once you get a set level and a set thing that you like mix in your head, it could be the same all the time. So it makes it so much more comfortable, I would imagine.
Well, for a drummer, especially because we're sitting in the same place. Right. I mean, Justin and Eva, people and the singers and Jesse are moving around. Me and Jason and Adriana, the keyboard players and music director, we're in place. Now, when I go out front, though, I have a completely different mix because there's a lot of, you get a lot of the audience, you know. So I also get a lot of audience mic in there, too, because I want to feel that. If you don't get the audience mic, you feel very sort of
like you're in a studio.
Insulated and isolated.
Yeah.
And you guys always use a B stage, correct? Or at least recently?
Yes, we've always had a B stage. She always has a satellite stage and there's always some sort of performance with the band. One year I played cello because I grew up playing cello. This last year I played an 18 and a 20 inch floor tom and a little snare, and I was using a brush in one hand and a mallet in the other, and it was very tribal and really beautiful, actually. And then one of the other years I played cajon. So it just depends on, it's all about what the music requires. Even my drum set is designed around the music, and everything I do has a purpose. So I have five toms, but it's all based on a four piece setup, like a Buddy Rich setup, you know,
right?
Like a 12, a 16. And then I got a 10, and then I have an 8, then I have a 14, and then I have an 18, and I have a 26 by 14 inch bass drum. I love 26s. And then I use Roland Electronics to augment a lot of stuff. And I have a lot of cymbals, but I utilize everything. There's a musical reason. I mean, if you took it away, I could still play the gig, obviously. I've done some five piece gigs with her. I started out as a five piece gig with her when I was subbing, but it was Mark Bennett was my drum tech at the time. Right now I've got Gary Grimm, who's been the tech for Picaro and Gad and Erskine and Jordan and all these guys. I've had some amazing techs, but it was Mark Bennett that said, "Hey man, why don't you build up your kit?" Then I got in Foreigner, Mick Jones. We were playing with Journey, or we playing with Styx. So we had Dean Castronova and we had
Todd.
And both of them had huge drum sets. So Mick's like, "Hey mate, I want a bigger drum set." So I had three bass drums, literally. I had a 22, a 26, and a 20, but I only used the 26. The others were for show. But I spread everything out, really, because I don't like things high. And then Brent Barnett from Gibraltar, for this last tour especially, built me this amazing rack that's just beautiful. And on this tour, I used the Broadcaster, the Gretsch Broadcasters, with a single lug in the middle and long rod, so it looked like a student model. And, oh my God, those drums just are magical.
You're still and with Gretsch, right?
I've been with Gretsch since for 19 years.
Amazing. And yeah, do you augment it with electronics?
What's that?
Do you augment your setup with electronics?
Oh, yeah. I've worked with Roland for a long time. With the Share Tour, I literally had a TD-30 at the time, a complete set and a complete acoustic kit in a V because there was so much electronics. With Pink, it's a little less because there's less electronics and we have a lot of loops, so I just augment. But I'm using quite a bit of stuff. And of course, I used the TD-50 on the last tour. And I've been with Sabian since 1988. And Vic Firth forever. And Remo, I tried every other head and came back Same with the Sticks. I left Vic Firth, went, tried other Sticks, came back, and played with a lot of other drum companies. But with Gretsch, it just always felt like home. And whenever I'd get off the road and I'd do a lot of sessions, like in the 90s when I was touring, but I just said, rent whatever kit you want. And 90% of the time it was a Gretsch kit. So I kind of figured out after a while, it's like, you know, I might as well just kind of play what really is resonating with most people, but resonating with me. Like, I don't tell people to play what I play. I tell people to play what you like. But to me, it feels like home. And that's what Gretsch feels like. That's what Sabian feels like. That's what Remo, Vic Firth. I mean, the Sticks, everything. I mean, the Sticks is what you touch. So it really is resonating with what you play. Because there's a lot of great gear out there, of course.
Yeah, and it's also the relationships. We try to get that across to a lot of people. It's like you said, there is so much great gear, and it's relationships that you build and the loyalty with these people over the years that really keep people playing. And, you know, it everybody keeps each other happy, and then everyone's happy. And
well, the real relationships you develop. And as you develop, these people become like dear friends. Like Fred and Diana Gretsch are dear friends. Andy Zildjian, dear friends. You know, yep. Joe Testa, dear friend. I mean, Bob Rupp, dear. I mean, all the people that I know in the industry that have built these relationships. Brent Barnett, dear friend.
That's what it's about.
Roger Johnson at Remo. Because you become, obviously, it's like you and me, Billy, you develop a relationship over time and you truly become close. Like, you truly care about people, and it isn't just business, but it does make a difference. The relationships, if there's ever any challenges, the relationships are what hold it together.
That's true.
If so, now when there are challenges.
Yeah then the challenges.
Well, I got to say, I've had very few challenges with my gear, fortunately. I mean, I had a few challenges with my hardware at a point, and they really worked with me.
Which was Gretsch hardware as well.
Well, I was using Gretsch and Gibraltar together. Okay. But now the Gibraltar hardware is re-engineered through DW, and it's just stellar. So,
And Mark, what you use says a lot about not only the relationships to be able to count on the manufacturers to be there for you, but the fact that you don't really have to as much because the gear does its job, and you're putting it through these rigorous tours. That's, you know, it couldn't be more stressed out as far as gear if it tried, and the stakes couldn't be higher when you're playing these kinds of venues with a world famous artist. So it really says a lot about that you've selected gear that is, you know, that you can rely on, not only because it sounds great, but because it works great.
Well, here's the thing. I have the greatest drum tech on the planet, who's also a dear friend. And he literally built, because he wanted to preserve the rack and not have to break it down, he had two huge drum cases. I'm talking about 6 feet tall, 5 feet wide, 8 feet long, so he could literally break the rack into two pieces. He is so meticulous, and he has I should actually send you guys a copy of his prospectus he's done with the drum set with every detail. So I joke with Gary, I said, man, it's your drum set, I'm just playing it. He is, I mean, nobody could be more meticulous than him. And that's why the gear works so well. And that's why it sounds the same. And that's why every nuance and every detail is polished. And you know, you have local crew people, and they will, so Gary will assign them, like, can you polish the cymbals? Can you do this? And he's very nice about it. So they get along with them, and they're happy to do it. But, you know, the maintenance of the gear, of course, the gear is wonderful, but the maintenance, like if we were throwing it around, throwing it in the back of a van and didn't have cases, obviously gear is going to get messed up. But we are fortunate enough that we have big trucks. And I mean, those two drum cases alone were $5,000.
Wow. Yeah, you need a good budget and a good tour for that. Which,
yeah,
like you say.
Well, they've been great. Our production manager Malcolm's also a guy I've been great friends with. He did share. I saw Malcolm at Starbucks before I saw anybody else at my local Starbucks, because they were rehearsing in Culver Studios and I'm in Culver City, and I nearly jumped him and hugged him and kissed him like, Malcolm, oh my god, you know. It's like when you haven't seen people for so long. And
probably the longest that you've been home now off tour. How's that been?
You know, it's been great. It's been magnificent in that we get to spend this time together. The concentrated time with my daughter, who's now 11, Zaid. I mean, she's, you know, she's the light of my life, man. By the same token, my daughter, since she was born, and my wife, since we got together in 2006 on the Pink Tour, know me as being gone half the time. If I'm not drumming, I'm speaking. I go away a lot to do these speaking gigs. So, yeah, it's been a little weird, you know, being home all the time. And I'm really big energy and I fill up a lot of the house. So my agreement with my wife is I go to the recording studio at least twice a day just to work, because there's a lot of work to do, because I write and I do videos and I'm prepping for, you know, speaking gigs, just to get out, because I fill up a lot of the house. And even we even have a gallery. We call the gallery, we converted our garage into, luckily right before COVID, we converted it into a photo studio for my wife, but that ended up being my video studio for my virtual speaking gigs. So we just lucked out timing wise, man. It was really fortunate, really, really amazing.
That was good. Your book, Conquering Life Stage Fright, Three Steps to
Top Performance.
Now, let's talk a little bit, because you mentioned about motivational speaking. Like, I know you've been, you do that because you work nonstop. You're one of those guys that, like, you don't slow down. And if you're not on tour, you're not playing, or even in between, you're out doing your motivational speaking. So what do people get? Like, tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I wrote that book nearly 6 years ago, and I speak on that occasionally. But what I'm really, really speaking on now is the power of attitude. And I can sum it up from a drumming standpoint. It's not what we play, it's how we play it. Think about this very carefully. We cannot control so much of what happens to us, most of what happens to us. I mean, granted, the global pandemic, but you always have the power to change, shift, or choose your attitude about what happens to you. Think about the power in that. And that's a decision that you make. So you can literally decide on your attitude, decide to give, and it becomes a decision and a choice. And if you really look at when you truly make a decision, you are cutting off all other possibilities. So you make that decision. And what makes this especially profound is attitude is just the foundation for this formula that I live by, I swear by, and that's what I'm writing my next book on, Power of Attitude, with the one of the most brilliant thinkers on the planet, Dr. Jim Samuels, has been my mentor for 35 years. Check it out. Your attitude is what drives your behavior. Think about the power in that. And your behavior is what determines the consequences of your life. And it's literally as easy as ABC. It's A times B equals C, attitude times behavior equals consequence. So this whole book is based on that. But what we did is we went out and I personally interviewed like rock star performers in every industry, in addition to interviewing some of the greatest drummers on the planet, from Carmine to Antonio to Greg to Kenny to Rich Redman, Thomas Lang, Nate Morton, Stanton Moore. I interviewed people like Judd Apatow and Howie Mandel and the late Tony Hsieh, who was the CEO of Zappos, and the Jeff Clark, who used to be the CEO of Kodak, to get their perspective on how they use attitude and how they've shifted their attitudes and also some professional athletes, and Martina Navratilova, and you know, I'm doing a lot more interviews still. And it's amazing how you see how attitude really is responsible for the success of everybody and everything, because every decision we make.
What was the commonality among all of those people that you could summarize and say, here's what they have in common?
Everybody at some point realized that it all began with their attitude. And by shifting or choosing or changing their attitude, they're literally driving behaviors and producing results, producing consequences, outcomes in their lives. And they realized they had that power. And they realized that if they had a substandard attitude or a bad attitude, the same thing would happen. Because you can choose it. You know, if you're just aware enough to stop and go, wow, I'm in the funk, right? But I could stop right now and consciously shift my attitude. And then I demonstrate different types of attitude shifts, like the power of gratitude. If you simply stop, like if you're in a funk and you just stop and think of one thing or one person for which you're grateful, and then another, and then another, and then another, you end up getting like sort of immersed, sort of surrounded by and protected by a fortress of gratitude. And before you know it, you're out of that funk. And gratitude literally creates endorphins in the brain. Also, your conscious mind, you cannot have a positive and negative conscious thought at the same time. So you can't be angry and grateful at the same time. You can't be anxious and grateful at the same time. So if you make these conscious shifts of what you're going to consciously focus on, and as a dear friend of mine, Tim Sanders, is one of the greatest speakers and thinkers on the planet, he just said, hey, man, feed your mind good stuff. He's a Southerner. Feed your mind good stuff. You know, you got to be very careful about who you hang out with, what kind of information you feed, what you watch on TV. Too much news will get you incredibly anxious. So I listen to the news, but I need to have a balance. So I also listen to things like Impact Theory on YouTube, Tom Bilyeu, the interviews like the greatest performers on the planet. And I get inspired. I'm constantly upgrading my speech. I practice my speech 5 times a week. And then I customize it for the clients. So all I'm doing is just, it's basically a drum clinic, man. I did 1,000 drum clinics. I realized at some point, I was talking to Dom Famularo. I interviewed Dom for the book, of course, as well. And Dom was the one that said, you know, he was asked to do a speaking gig, and he made about 10 times as much money as he did for the speaking gig as he did for the drum clinic. And he did the same thing. And I realized I could do that. So I leverage this sort of celebrity that I have. I don't take it seriously, but I leverage the fact that I play with Pink and Foreigner and Stevie Nicks and Simple Minds and Billy Idol as a chance to get in the door to be able to then use the philosophies that I've thought so much about. And I've studied with 2 speaking coaches, an acting coach, a director, a storyteller. I've worked very, very hard to create this brand and to create the level of speaking that I do. Because now I've spoken to American Express, Dell, Kaiser, IBM, Microsoft. You name it. I've spoken, you know, Cisco. I'm up for a gig right now speaking for Johnson & Johnson, believe it or not. These are my clients. Nice. So I need to also know the corporate world and know how they communicate and have the content be relevant. Because for years, I was just telling stories and playing licks. Now it's like the stories need to have a purpose for being there. I still play drums. I get people on stage. I do interactive clapping to demonstrate active listening. So it's become a really big part of my life. You can tell I'm really passionate about it. It's become a really big part of my life. But I'm still a drummer first. It all stems from being a drummer, man.
Yeah, that's great. And talking talk about inspiration and everything, before we let you go, playing Wembley. I know that's in the DVD, correct? Was that the first time you played Wembley?
Wembley Stadium, yes. That was like the big bucket list for everybody on the tour. Nobody had played Wembley Stadium. So the whole documentary is the build up to Wembley.
Wow.
And it was so wild because the first day, like we were playing and it was the summertime, but it was a cold summer. And the first night we played Wembley in London, of all places, it was so blazingly hot and sweaty, you know. So what you see live in Wembley is actually a hybrid of 2 shows as we played 2 shows. Second night was a lot less sweaty. And I have like flames behind me that are so hot. Literally, there's a camera guy Austin, and there have been some nights where I smell his camera burning from the freaking flames because it's so damn hot. And I always check on him. I'm like, dude, are you okay? Because he's like 6 feet behind me. And I'm like, I mean, he's like 3 feet from these massive flames. I mean, wow. I literally, after the flames go off and I hit my cymbals, there's a bunch of little bits of residue. And I have to like turn my head because when I hit the cymbals, the residue bounces and flies everywhere, man.
Oh, like ash.
Yeah, like ash, but like beads or something because it's not regular ash. Wow. So, yeah, I live on the edge a little bit, you know. It's a little dangerous, you know.
And you, I think you started that term, man. You were on fire tonight.
Yeah, exactly. It has. I mean, I've had cinders land in my hair that has so much freaking hairspray in it, dude. It could go.
Well, we appreciate you taking the time to do this today. Thank you so much, David.
Well, I love drums. I love you. And I'm going to do something daring. I'm going to give everybody my personal email address because I'm willing to answer any questions. Mark@MarkShulman goes right to me. Got any questions, email me. It might take me a while. I get a lot of emails, but I will answer it. So if you want to know anything, let me know.
Where can people get your book?
Well, the new book is, we're still writing. And it's probably going to be ready August, September, and then I'm going to be negotiating a publishing deal. So you can join, if you go on my website, you can join my newsletter, which I recommend because I also send out some really cool videos. And then people can kind of, you know, track it, and I'll send out, I will get everybody on my newsletter. As soon as that book is anywhere near ready, I'll be like giving discounts and giving signed versions and all kinds of stuff. So, I think it really will make a difference forever. I know it will make a difference for everybody. And by the way, I'm so tired of the word motivational speaker. I call myself an activational speaker because I'm here to have people take action. And I do a lot of private success coaching for drummers and people in other industries. And it really is all about how to set up an action plan. Because you need to be motivated, but that's just the beginning.
Right.
Once you're motivated, then you need to take action on everything you're motivated about.
Correct. Now, I love what you do. You know, I'm a big fan of yours. It's been a long time. The first time, a lot of people don't probably know this. The first time that me and you actually hung out was at the grand opening of the Hard Rock in New York City in Times Square. You sat in for, you were on that couple of dates with Velvet Revolver.
Oh, I played with Velvet Revolver for 6 weeks. Yeah,
because Matt hurt his hand.
Matt broke his hand.
Yeah,
that was a trip.
That night was so good because it was the grand opening of the Hard Rock in Times Square, which was a big thing. And then I sat at the control board with Matt, watching you. It was pretty wild.
That's incredible, man. Yeah, that was very special. That was, well, what we did is we changed the tour last minute when Katrina hit. And then Velvet Revolver did a bunch of shows and donated all the proceeds to Katrina. So it was very nice.
That was really cool. Well, thank you again, everybody. If you missed this May 2019 issue, go to the Modern Drummer Shop.
I mean, look at the hair alone. You got to get it for the hair alone, man.
Look at that. Look at that handsome face.
Look at that spike. Oh, and I got to give one plug for the glasses because my friend Gerd, JeffersonEyewear.com. These are recycled drum shells. And they're the coolest thing. And you can get any shape. You can get any color. I have my own line. But drummers, you want to be cool, go to JeffersonEyewear.com. Type in Mark Shulman, you get 10% off.
Yeah, and they're light, too, because I tried them on when I was with you. They're very light.
Yeah, it was Mike Dolbear, who's the great drummer in the UK, the great teacher who turned me on to it originally. So thank you, Mike.
Well, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Mark.
Hope to hear from you. Big love. Mwah. Take care, you guys.
We'll see you soon.
And girls and animals. I got to go attend to my 5-month-old puppy now.
More work.
Take care. Bye.
My friend, Mark Shulman here, coming to you from the stage in Fargo, North Dakota. We're playing a show tonight with Pink, but I'm here to talk to you about Modern Drummer. Modern Drummer is the Bible. Modern Drummer is the original. As long as I can remember, this has been my source of inspiration, not only to see all of the amazing gear and all the amazing ads that always inspired me, but for the greatest information on the greatest drummers and the greatest secrets and the greatest licks and all of the insights that I needed to build my career and to build up to who I am now. It's such a brilliant resource. It continues to be a brilliant resource. And I cannot say enough wonderful things about this particular magazine and all the adjunct information that they have online. It is life-changing. Thank you, Modern Drummer. You guys have been the greatest resource for drumming in my life.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you visit Arizona, time is measured in moments, not minutes. Like the moment your work stress disappears as you kayak through the canyons. Or the moment you discover the life-changing effects of prickly pear chocolate. But nothing beats the moment you see the Grand Canyon for the very first time. Visit a new state of mind. Learn more at hereyouareaz.com.